Yesterday, Governor Jared Polis said that he expects many public K through 12 schools will open this fall in Colorado and elsewhere. He told Fox News Sunday that it's not going to look like any other school year and things will likely run in a hybrid fashion. Interactions in hallways and during lunchtime will be limited, and up to 20% of kids will continue with online classes at home if that is the preference of their parents. He said that schools could also close periodically when there is an outbreak. The governor also ordered Saturday that workers at essential government businesses and critical government jobs must continue to wear masks when at work until at least June 15th. The mask order has already been in place for 30 days, and Governor Polis cited the continuing need to slow the spread of COVID-19. Workers in grocery stores and restaurants, liquor stores, food processing plants, among others, must wear masks and should also wear gloves if provided by employers. While the general public in Colorado is not required to wear masks, at least 15 cities and counties, including Denver and Boulder, require face coverings for all individuals in public businesses and spaces. It will be easier now for people to collect signatures for ballot measures. On Friday, Governor Polis signed an executive order allowing the Secretary of State to create temporary rules so signatures can be collected by mail or email. The governor also ordered that unaffiliated and independent candidates for office be allowed to gather signatures by mail or by email. The Denver Post reports that the fate of several ballot measures have been hanging in the balance, including a proposal for paid family leave. The changes in rules has been a sensitive topic in the last several weeks. Some say it is necessary and others argue that it could open a Pandora's box. In response to the governor's order, the Denver Chamber of Commerce said in a release that it was a violation of our Constitution, but a coalition of health and child advocacy groups applauded the governor's action, including those that advocate an initiative that would increase taxes on tobacco and nicotine products. On Friday, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment changed the way that it reports deaths from the coronavirus. Now, the state includes a tally of total fatalities among people who had COVID-19, but the disease was not listed as the cause of death on the death certificate. As of Sunday, 1,215 people who had the virus have died, with 878 of those listed as caused by it. The number of deaths caused by COVID-19 remained unchanged from the prior day. And as of yesterday, less than 500 remained hospitalized with the virus. That's the lowest number since the end of March. Denver area hospitals report that the number of emergency room visits were down anywhere from 30 to 50% in April. This is compared to the same month last year. The Denver Post reports that the fewer numbers could be due to fewer accidents from work or outdoor activities. But according to an emergency room physician, that doesn't explain why hospitals are seeing fewer heart attacks and strokes. Dr. Richard Zane of CU's School of Medicine says that not a single day goes by that they don't see people who've had symptoms with things like stroke or heart attack for days, but have delayed going to the hospital. Emergency responders and hospitals are encouraging patients to use virtual care options if appropriate and to seek emergency care should it be needed. They emphasize that they have measures in place to handle the coronavirus. Boulder County health workers are having trouble getting some people to share the information needed to track the progress of COVID-19. The Daily Camera reports that such information is critical to public health and the key to the county's recovery from the pandemic. Chana Gusetas, who's the spokesperson for the County Health Department, said that the problem is an increasing trend, particularly among the Spanish-speaking population. She added that it's possibly related to immigration status, as well as concerns about joblessness. If someone is identified as exposed to the virus, the belief may be that their employer would fire them even if they don't have symptoms. She also said that it is likely that some just aren't comfortable making a public record of everyone that they've been in touch with on a day-to-day basis. Health officials emphasised that in order to limit the spread, its staff needs those who have been sick to recall and share the details of everyone with whom they've had close contact during the time that they were infectious. The department does not share the data with anyone. About 30 people are working to get in touch with those contacts to inform them of their potential exposure as rapidly and as sensitively as possible. A coalition of affordable housing organisations in Colorado is urging an emergency plan that could stave off mass evictions and foreclosures if the state and local leaders can find the money for it. The total price tag, according to the plan, would be nearly $300 million. The 15-member Neighbourhood Development Collaborative sent a letter to the governor and other state officials earlier this month calling for almost $200 million to support the tens of thousands of renters who'll not be able to pay their rent when the governor's moratorium on evictions expires at the end of this month. Nearly $100 million would help those who can't pay their mortgages. The Denver Post reports that the Neighbourhood Development Collaborative was born out of the Great Recession about a decade ago. Its letter to government officials was in an effort to be proactive and identified potential funding sources.